Hello, welcome to the Cerebral Flex Podcast. I'm your host, Namwon Sakati. Along with me is Jareth P. Blackstar. Today we'll be talking about conspiracy theories that were proven false and others that were proven true. We're probably going to start the show out with talking about the Derek Chauvin trial. And hello, good morning, Jareth.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Yeah,
you got to go to work later. That's no fun. I got to go shopping later, you know. Adulting is awesome. I love it.
Yep.
All right. So, Derek Chauvin case. In case you don't know who he was, because you weren't alive or paying attention in 2020, he was a Minneapolis police officer who sat on the neck of somebody, a good man named George Floyd. He was resisting arrest, acting erratically. They decided to throw George Floyd to the ground. Derek Chauvin placed his knee on the back of George Floyd's neck for whatever reason.
9 minutes and 25 seconds.
Yes.
9 minutes and 29 seconds. 9 minutes and 29 seconds. I heard that so much this week. I heard that like over and over again.
Yeah. So,
but
you know,
yeah,
you probably shouldn't do that. And in America, especially, our cops are allowed to get away with all sorts of violence against our citizens and get off scot-free. This time, fortunately, a young woman stopped and filmed the entire 9 minutes and 29 seconds of George Floyd's life being snuffed out. And so the great state of Minnesota decided, hey, we're going to go ahead and prosecute Derek Chauvin. I believe he was found guilty on third and second degree manslaughter. And there's also another one he was found guilty on, but he's going to go away for a long time. They've given their sacrificial pawn to the people, so now they don't have to do police reform.
Yeah, exactly.
You
can tell they don't care because all while it's happening, a kid died like 10 miles away from the trial.
Yep.
And a girl just got shot, but her story is a bit different because she had a knife. And I'm not certain if she was being attacked when the cop got there. And so she was trying to stab or slice at whoever was attacking her. And then she got shot by the cop, or if she was just dumb. I don't know.
Point being, Derek Chauvin, he's gone. That's good. Justice was served. But I was just recently listening to one of my favorite YouTube hosts. I believe his name's Kyle Kalinske on Secular Talk. He was talking about how politicians are already feeling no pressure to do police reform and do the promises that they made during their campaigns because now that he's gone, people are just going to calm down and we're going to go back to killing people indiscriminately until the next one gets filmed. And in a lot of these cases, a lot of them have been filmed, but they're odd cases. So, you know, there's room for speculation on the danger that the officer is in and all that.
So just always.
It goes hand in hand. America has a gun problem and America has a military/police problem.
What I find odd about police officers is they have to go grocery shopping and they have to go out in places and see people all the time. And they know that most people aren't a threat. So I'm wondering, like, why when they put on that uniform and a gun, does every single person become deadly to the 10th power? But like when they're walking around the grocery store, are they always like reaching for their gun that they probably still have on them? Like always like, oh, that guy's, you know, handling that banana oddly. He's going to do something. You know, are they paranoid at all times or only when they put on the uniform?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know if it's at all times or if it's just when they have the uniform on. I'm assuming like just the profession of cops in general, they're usually ex-military.
Yeah.
Or white supremacists.
Yeah. Or both. And,
or both. Yeah. Honestly, a lot of them are both. And I think they're just violent, unhinged psychopaths. Most cops, like, yeah, okay, there are some good cops, sure, but the majority of cops are bloodthirsty psychopaths who help each other, and that's the only reason you become a cop is because you get to bully people. And I don't know if they're like that off duty. I would assume they're like that off duty.
Yeah,
because they have some type of.
There's a lot of domestic violence, and I wouldn't want to see their homes.
There is a lot of domestic violence in
within the police, yeah.
Yeah, within cop homes, actually. That's a very good, yeah, that's a statistic I remember reading recently. So yeah, I don't know. We need serious police reform. We need serious gun reform in this country. In light of all the conspiracy theories we've been doing, I've been looking into a lot of things like the Oklahoma City bombing, Ruby Ridge and all that stuff, and just realizing how deeply embedded white supremacist culture is in the conservative right gun movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much convinced me that at least 40 to 60% of the Republican Party, especially the Ted Cruz's, are all white nationalists. So the Republican Party is beyond saving at this point, I would say. Fox News and Ben Shapiro and all of these people who go around.
That's another weird thing is all these Hispanic and Latin people that are part of the white nationalist movement. Like the Proud Boys.
Yeah. Yeah, Proud, especially the Proud Boys. The other weird thing, too, that's always bugged me, like, especially when it comes to cops and, like, killing, you know, young unarmed people of color is, like, a lot of times there's black officers present, too, who back up and corroborate the story. It's like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
What is
wrong? 1 second. I have to tell my family what's going on, I guess.
Okay. All right, so in today's episode, we're going to be going over some conspiracy theories that have been proven not to be true. So conspiracy theories that have been looked into. We've proven that they're not true unless you're super, super conspiratorial minded. And then we're going to go over some stuff that has been proven to be true. The stuff that has been proven to be true is a little bit spicier as far as subject matter goes. A lot of it has to do with government programs and such. We'll see how much we go into it just because we're probably already on a bunch of different watch lists. I doubt they care about two guys living in the suburbs talking about conspiracies that are widely discussed over the internet. But we're going to touch on some of the stuff that's proven to be true. It's a little bit spicier. But first, we're going to go through some of the stuff that we believe not to be true. It's been proven demonstrably that it's not true. We're going to kind of go over it, break it down, give you our thoughts on it and why we believe why it's not true. And then we'll go into the stuff that's kind of been proven to be true. And we'll end the episode off there today. All right. So which are the ones that was proven to not be true? Do we want to go over first?
We're going to go over Sandy Hook first.
All right.
Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. I hope most of you have heard about it. It happened December 14th, 2012 in Newtown, Connecticut. A man named Adam Lanza shot his mother before murdering 20 children and six staff members at a school. And then he later killed himself. And then the conspiracy theory, I think it was initiated by Alex Jones, was that the U.S. government just made this shit all up so that they could have stricter gun laws. To use that as an excuse to have stricter gun laws, which is absolutely insane. He said it was completely fake at one point. He later had to apologize because of a lawsuit brought by the parents. I mean, understandably so. And then he reversed his stances and admitted that the massacre was real. And he's an absolute dumbass for that. So
that's actually what got Alex Jones canceled, was the whole Sandy Hook incident. Because, I mean, when we get into like the subject of canceling people, like I'm against it because I think even if you have terrible, stupid ideas, you should be able to say them out loud so we know who you are.
I agree until it's traumatizing for parents that just lost their children in a massacre. I think that's the line I draw. If you're like, no, that shit didn't even happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. While you're trying to mourn. I mean, how do you even, you can't mourn or heal after your child dies really anyway. So I don't know why it's best to add salt to the wound. So maybe instead of canceling, we should have just capped him. Oh no. I don't think it's right what he did.
No,
I don't think we should just cancel people because they have an opinion.
I mean, that's why there's laws in place and stuff like that where you can sue people for defamation. I think he definitely should have had to at least, like, I don't think they should have canceled him, but I think they should have made him pay a very hefty monetary price for opening his mouth and spouting trash like that.
I thought he had to pay a fine.
Yeah, but it wasn't anywhere near what it should have been. Like, if we're talking about traumatizing people's for losing their children, like, it's not what it should have been. But yeah, this one's just, I mean, it's not true, because why would parents lie about shooting, having their kids shot? Like, some people believe right. that the kids didn't even, like, when you get into the deep, deep conspiracy, some people believe that the kids weren't even shot and that the parents completely faked their deaths. Other people believe that the kids were shot, because they're going to come to take all the guns. That's what a lot of people are saying now with all these mass shootings is, you know, these are all government co-ops that are going out and causing all these mass shootings. So Biden can ban assault weapons. We banned assault weapons for 10 years during the Clinton administration. It is what caused the Ruby Ridge incidents, the Oklahoma City bombing, Waco and all that stuff. That's what caused those big incidences.
Are you serious? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And during Bill, that's why you had this Patriot movement, which combined with the white nationalist movement was getting so like pissed off, because they actually banned the sale of assault weapons and high capacity magazines, but it was only for 10 years. It was a bullshit thing that they passed just like, as like, oh, see, we did gun reform with loose background checks and you can't buy assault weapons. And so people were pissed off about that, which is why we had the big backlash, which George W. Bush and all that. So yeah, we've done gun reform before. We've done it half-assed every time we have done it. And it's the last time we did it is what led to the Oklahoma City bombing, all these domestic terrorist events and stuff like that, because people think that you should have the right to bear arms because of the Constitution and the amendments and blah, 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 blah. But what you don't realize is that if the government wanted to put us all in concentration camps, they'd be able to do so easily, because they have machines that can melt your brain and you don't even know it till your brain's melted and oozing out your ear. So the government has
weapons. Wouldn't it come out of your nose first? I don't know.
Yeah, no, like, the government has weapons that we don't even know about that they don't use in modern day warfare, because they're saving that shit for in case we do get out of hand and start a mass movement in this country, they can shut it down. Yep. So that's why gun activism, like, as much as I believe you should have the right to bear arms, I don't think anybody needs an AR-15, because at the end of the day, if the government wants to come and take over your city, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. They have tanks, dude. They have tanks.
So. Yeah, and they also have, you know, drones and nanotechnology and a bunch of other stuff.
Exactly. So Sandy Hook, just, that's not, no, I don't believe it at all to be a true conspiracy. It led to things like Pizzagate, where the guy went into the pizza parlor because he'd read a bunch of stuff about politicians and shot it up. And there were real consequences for the Sandy Hook lie that ended in people dying. We've talked about in the last episode how, you know, people who are higher up the echelon and wealth, like actors and millionaires, politicians and stuff, like, yeah, I do believe there's a cabal of darker pedophilic things going on in the upper echelons of society. But as far as Sandy Hook goes, I think that was just something that actually happened and was pretty tragic.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so, I don't know how it can be disputed.
No, I agree. So up next, flat Earth.
All right. Can I just take the screen right now?
Oh, yes, you can 100% have the screen for a minute.
Just want to really quickly tell you why flat Earth is stupid. So for you to even believe in flat Earth, you'd actually have to not believe in gravity. So follow along here. If you're a bit slow, I'll try to use smaller words. Gravity is why planets and stars are spherical. So everything's being pulled into the center of any body or mass, like the spokes on a bicycle wheel, if you want to look at it that way. anything that's over 1,600 miles in diameter or 2,574 kilometers in diameter is going to have enough gravitational pull to become spherical. I mean, if you have a gaseous planet or a gaseous planet that is rotating really quickly, like Jupiter or Saturn, it won't be completely sphere. It'll be more like Saturn's kind of like a hamburger, and Jupiter definitely has a larger diameter around its center where it's orbiting, where it's rotating. But otherwise, if you were a giant and you grabbed the Earth, it'd be like a marble. You wouldn't even be able to tell that there are mountains. Like, mountains on Earth are so small in comparison to the size of the Earth itself. Anyway, and furthermore, things aren't spherical on Earth, like a flower or a hot dog or anything like that, is because they're not 1,600 miles in diameter. So they don't have the mass it takes to become a sphere. I don't know how anyone could look out their window and see a spherical sun and see a spherical moon. Or maybe these people actually think the moon and the sun are flat as well, but are positioned perfectly at such an angle that we see them as a circle. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to be, in my opinion, pretty stupid in order to believe that. So what do you think?
All right. So my wife loves to bring up flat Earth just because it angers me so much that anybody could be, and I'm not even going to apologize for it, stupid enough to believe that the Earth is flat. You can literally take flights that bring you up above the atmosphere to where you can see the curvature of the Earth, and they're not that expensive. So, like, if I don't understand the mentality behind, why would anybody lie about the Earth being flat? What does anybody gain by the Earth being flat? And I've watched conspiracy videos about the Earth being flat, and none of the arguments presented are even remotely compelling.
Like, do they think once you travel to the edge, you kind of just like stick to the edge for?
There's
some
an
reason?
Ice wall.
It's an ice wall?
Yeah, there's an ice wall.
How come no one's seen it?
Exactly.
Oh.
The government's hiding it. That's what I with some of these, it's just like, what do you gain by lying about the Earth being spherical as opposed to flat? Like, well, what does anybody gain by lying about that?
I really want to just really get rid of this one. If anyone watches this show, I just want to say, in space, everything spins.
Yeah.
And little bits of particles and even electromagnetic radiation will come together because of the spinning. And once enough of it clumps together and gains that diameter that I previously said, they will become a sphere or sphere-like. There's no way around it. Ah, that was a pun.
Yeah, I don't understand flat Earth. I don't get why anybody would lie about it. Just like I don't understand why anybody would lie about dinosaurs being real. There are people that don't believe that dinosaurs are real, that the bones are all faked. Like, I don't. Okay, all right. Why would anybody lie about that? What do they have to gain from it?
They on a side note on that one, they just had a they just unveiled, I think in Kentucky, Noah's Ark exhibit. Uh-huh. And inside the Noah's Ark, they have dinosaurs, like basically claiming that humans and dinosaurs live together. And it's like, shit, man. It's like, I can't. We can't get ahead if people are this dumb. We can't.
No. And this is, these mentalities is what is holding us back.
Yeah.
Like, as a species. Like,
yep.
Again, Me and Colin are both very different in the way we approach things. He's much more scientific. I'm much more of like the spiritually based, but like science does get a lot of things right. It might not have all the answers to the universe, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, quantum mechanics, and we're still studying the muon and neutrinos and things like that. Yeah. But.
And there's always room to change things. But I mean, as far as like the Earth being flat, come on now. Like, what? Stop. Just stop. Stop. Stop believing everything everybody puts in a YouTube video.
Well, that's just a crazy proposition, because I just still, you look at the sun, you see a circle. You look at the moon, you see a circle. So these things, either they're fake too, or they're positioned at a perfect angle that you're seeing a circle. Like, that's crazy.
I don't know.
So yeah, 5G. Let's just get done with that.
All right, 5G, go.
Stupid people obsession. Yeah, you're questionably mentally challenged if you believe in this 5G crap. So conspiracy theorists are alluding that it transmits COVID and it reduces our ability to fight it off. And okay, let me get all scientific again. So these wireless signals from our cellular devices are what's called electromagnetic radiation, and they're of the non-ionizing variety. To explain what non-ionizing means, just simply, layman's terms, it's going to penetrate your tissues less so than ionizing radiation, which you are exposed to when you walk outside and the sun's rays hit you. So you're already exposed to ionizing radiation from nature itself, okay? Your phone only admits non-ionizing radiation. So the most it can do at 5, 6, 1500 G, I wouldn't want to do that, but we are being exposed to more particles, more radiation. I mean, it is particle and wave, but whatever. To put it clearly, like your microwave also creates non-ionizing radiation, and no one's like terrified of their microwave. I will say that the more radiation we're exposed to with our cell phones and the more you have it, you know, close to your body, for men, it will harm your semen. It weakens your semen, your sperm count. So that's something that you can actually be a believer in. But as far as like creating a coronavirus, which is a respiratory virus, that's not something non-ionizing radiation is capable of doing. It also will not hurt your immune system and, you know, weaken your chances of fighting off COVID. So stop with the nonsense. If you're at a 5G rally protesting 5G towers instead of helping your dying grandmother at home, please go home and help your grandmother, okay? That's all I gotta say.
So with 5G, if you wanted to get conspiratorial with it, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
All right. 5G is bad because we don't have a lot of 5G towers. All right. Now the new world superpower coming up wanting to install 5G towers all over the world is China. They're offering to go to people's countries. Hey, we'll do it for cheap labor. We're going to install 5G towers, but we get to collect all the data on those 5G towers. All right. So if you wanted to be conspiratorial minded about 5G and why it's bad because China is going to try to go all over the world, set up 5G towers, and then collect all your metadata. All right. But as far as like transmitting diseases, stop. You're being silly. You're being silly and conspiratorial for no reason. All right. Coronavirus, it was created in a lab in China. All right. It did escape the lab. All right.
Do you know this now? Is this a fact?
This is pretty much a fact. It was created in a lab in China.
Did Bill Gates create it?
Huh?
Did Bill Gates create it?
Oh God, no. Let's not get into Bill Gates. I will agree. I will agree with people who think that that billionaires are weird, odd people who do really weird things. I don't believe Bill Gates is trying to kill off the entire world. I don't believe Elon Musk is trying to control the human race by putting implants in you. I think they just have a lot of money and a lot of time and they're really smart and they like science fiction because they're nerds and they want that shit to be true. I think it's as nefarious as that. But as far as 5G transmitting diseases and all that stuff, like, no, they're radio waves. That's what they are. Radio waves. They can't do that. So stop with the silliness.
I mean, right. We are exposed to more radiation as they increase.
Yes, we are. Yeah. We are exposed to more radiation, and radiation has been shown to decrease male fertility rates. But the Earth is already overpopulated as it is, so that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. It might be ethically questionable, but definitely not a bad thing.
Definitely ethically questionable, but I don't think in the long term, like, people are still having tons of kids. It's not causing as much of an effect as people are making it out to be.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
GMOs, and Mr. Science Man.
Never mind. I won't even go down that path. What'd you say?
GMOs, Mr. Science Man. You want to explain why GMOs aren't terrible to people?
Here we go. GMOs are genetically modified organisms. That's pretty much it. Most of them are not harmful. Some are questionable, though. I will say the ones that can make a plant produce pesticides is questionable, just because you do have to consume that later. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to eat pesticides if I can help it. So I do eat organic. I don't think the pesticides would kill anyone or really cause any issues. I just personally don't want to eat them. Yeah, I mean, otherwise, the Food and Drug Administration isn't going to go out of their way to poison you when you already buy cigarettes and alcohol and fast food on a consistent basis, American. All right? They have better things to be doing than trying to put poison in your food, right? So, I don't know. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, GMOs GMOs were created to help farmers keep their crops. That's the entire reason behind genetically modified organisms. I mean, if you think about it, dogs are genetically modified organisms because you take different lineages and you breed them down until you get things like your Yorkies or your golden retrievers and stuff like that. It's a more simple way of looking at it.
I'll up the ante on that. Black Americans, African Americans are genetically modified organisms because on the slave ships over here, they were throwing out the fat and the sick and the weak. And they're only keeping the strong to breed with. That's what genetic modification is.
Yeah.
So you're not allowing nature to do its own thing. You are throwing out the weak and keeping the strong. And they take different strains, like with corn, so that it can grow later and start growing earlier in the year. So you have a larger harvest and that they can be more resistant to cold weather or warm weather. But yeah.
Yeah. That's literally all they're doing is crossbreeding different strains of plants and stuff like that, so that the crops and the harvest, they yield greater amounts of food, and also they're not getting eaten alive by the things that like to eat them and stuff. So that's all genetically modified organisms are. If you're worried about eating things that are coming off of large plantations and stuff like that, then you probably also shouldn't be eating anything like McDonald's, drinking any type of controlled substances, taking controlled substances or anything like that, because everything at this point is genetically modified. So the whole GMO Monsanto conspiracy it's ridiculous. Like, yes, they use pesticides on the food, but it's just to preserve the food. Most food is preserved. That's another way of genetically modifying things. So I don't personally like eating food that has had a bunch of bug spray poured on it, but it's also been proven that it's fine for you to eat. There's not going to be any long-term effects. Actually, eating things like corn and crap all the time, those are going to lead to long-term health effects, which corn syrup and cornstarch is in freaking everything, and it makes you fat, and that's what's leading to the obesity crisis here and in Mexico. Mexico actually has the largest obesity problem next to the U.S. I think they're actually number one now. Surprisingly.
Really?
Yes. Surprisingly.
Wannabes?
Maybe.
Those wannabes? they want to be fat like us, huh?
All right. And, so
I mean, we also eat things like food coloring, which is petroleum-based.
That
I
is
mean,
true.
It's derived from petroleum.
That is very true. A lot of our food is colored to make it look more appealing, because the more vibrant it is, the more it tricks your brain into thinking that it's going to taste better, essentially.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Well, I will say GMOs to me, when they make strawberries as big as your head, they're really bland. They don't taste like the strawberries I had when I was a kid. So I will say that when they're making things bigger, I feel like they're not getting the flavor in there.
What about like they're trying to like make meat in labs and stuff like that? Like, what do you think
cool
about
with that?
You're cool with that?
Yeah, I'm totally cool with that, because I might actually eat meat again.
I wonder if it'll taste the same or not.
Yeah, no, there's no reason it wouldn't.
No? Why is that?
Yeah. No, I mean, the way they're making it's really expensive right now, but I think they're going to get it down. I don't know the ins and outs of the specifics of how they're doing it. I know they're taking proteins and basically allowing them to grow themselves. They're growing meat. It's really interesting. I'll have to research it more, but there's no reason that it wouldn't taste just like the real thing.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be one way to solve a lot of different animal rights things.
Yeah, I mean, it would solve their trauma that they're going through.
And think about it. You're probably creating more jobs in doing that than having slaughterhouses.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of jobs in green energy, alternative meats. I mean, I really do want to invest in Impossible Burgers and all those alternative meat companies because they're about to explode on the market.
Have you tried an Impossible Whopper?
Oh, yeah. Tons.
They're good.
It's not that great. I'll be honest. I think the I don't know if it's Morningstar that makes the one for Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get the vegetarian, it's Beyond Meat. It's Beyond Breakfast Sandwich at Dunkin' Donuts. If you get it with cheddar cheese or American cheese, that's where it's at. But the Whopper is it's sad. It's kind of a sad.
That's Burger King. Burger King's pretty sad in general. But comparing it to like what the actual Whopper tastes like and the Impossible Whopper, in my opinion, it's pretty damn close.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I should have started with the original Whopper wasn't that satisfying to begin with.
This is true.
And so
Burger King is the least good of the three in America. I'd say Wendy's is probably the best. And then McDonald's, you know, it's just king. But you don't eat meat, so it's been a while.
I mean, I'll eat fish. So I usually, if I'm going to eat a fish sandwich, I get it from Arby's.
Oh, I've never had a fish sandwich from Arby's.
They know how to do it. It's better than like a fish fillet of McDonald's for sure.
All right. So the last one, you're going to like this one. Chemtrails. All right. Science, chemistry teacher. Nam Wansakati, you want to take away why chemtrails aren't an awful thing?
Sure. Are they chemtrails or are they condensation trails produced by aircraft engine exhaust with different temperatures and pressures in the lower stratosphere composed of water in the form of ice crystals?
I would say they're chemtrails, but why don't you tell me why they're not?
I mean, y'all got to put down the joint and think about this one. So everything has exhaust with a combustible engine. A lot of the exhaust is water. So when you're up high in the atmosphere where it's really cold, that water is going to turn to ice. And when small bits of ice are floating together up there, it looks like a cloud. That's what clouds are. So if they're coming out in a straight stream and freezing up there, it's going to look like trails. Is that good?
I don't have anything to add to that. Again, if the government wanted to poison you, they wouldn't be doing it through 5G or GMOs or chemtrails.
You're doing it to yourselves. You're already doing it. We're all doing it ourselves. Like, look at how we eat. Look at how we drink. Come on. What'd you say?
I was going to say the government is so inadequate that Flint, Michigan, like 6 years later, still doesn't have water, clean water that they can drink and bathe in. Like, they're so inadequate, they can't get an entire city clean water. Think that they're capable of slowly poisoning their citizens for decades.
They can't even fix your potholes, buddy. They're not going to go on the extra credit to fucking give you poison in your food.
Oh, man. God. Yeah. No, they're not. Again, I think that these conspiracy things are kind of born out of like a generation of people who were brought up watching the X-Files a lot, which I love that show. That's a great show.
To be fair, in my 20s, I was a huge conspiracy theory person.
Oh, yeah.
And just because I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. I didn't understand a lot of the science, and I didn't know a lot of the history, and I didn't understand a lot of things. So I just, you know, built my own conclusions off of what I already knew and then was like, yeah, they're all trying to kill us.
No, I think when you look into conspiracy theories and you get beyond like these superficial ones, like the ones we talked about the last time, like some of them are superficial, some of them not so much. These ones especially are like super wacky and prevalent and out there, but like, no, like there's much more nefarious things that the government has done that you should be worried about, like Operation Paperclip. Transition?
I liked it. That was a smooth transition. That was like the transition in Spaceballs.
Yes. So, Operation Paperclip. I'm going to take the reins on this one for just a minute. Operation Paperclip. It was Russia and the United States divvying up the Nazi scientists. So the Nazi scientists from World War II who were conducting awful experiments on people in Auschwitz and things like that. You think, oh, we had the Nuremberg trials. We went and we killed a bunch of Nazis and we hung them all in Yay America. False. No. What America and Russia decided to do, because Germany was all split up at the time, is they said, hey, there's all this scientific data that the Nazis have been compiling. All these human experiments that they've done that we don't want to do on our own citizens, but they've already done it. There was also the rush to get into space because the Cold War was going to start to amp up, because Russia and the United States at the time were kind of fighting to be the world superpower with Germany falling. And so Operation Paperclip is just a bunch of Nazi scientists being forgiven their sins, brought over to the United States to work primarily for NASA. Most of them worked for, and then in Russia, a lot of them worked on their space and intelligence programs and stuff like that too. It was just a big compiling of all their data. And, it's pretty gross that you would keep people who, had committed the atrocities that the Nazis did alive and working for you. So thoughts on Operation Paperclip?
Yeah, it was a secret U.S. intelligence program where 1,600 German scientists, engineers, technicians, and other specialists were taken from Germany to work for the U.S. government. That was between 1945 and 1959, post-World War II, like Jareth was saying. The Russian operation was called Osavyakim, if I'm saying that right. And that took place October 22nd, 1946, by the USSR's Ministry of Internal Affairs. They were called the MVD, that was the acronym, and also Soviet Army units removed more than 2,200 German specialists to work for the Soviet Union, but that they took the families of those specialists as well. So they actually kidnapped pretty much 6,000 individuals in total. But yeah, and then they worked for the Soviet Union just like the specialists worked for the U.S. government. So between Russia and the U.S., because the Russia and U.S. are the two that toppled Germany or the Nazis and the Japanese in World War II, I think they worked it out between themselves to kind of divvy up the pie. But I think that led to the Cold War because they had all these amazing scientists that then led them to, you know, space exploration and bomb making and all sorts of different things. So it actually turned them into adversaries in a way.
Yeah, it was like they were working in congruence with each other and with the power vacuum that was left in Europe, because Europe was actually the world's superpower at the time. Especially England and France. And when Germany, there's a lot of things that did Germany wrong. But that doesn't excuse their actions in World War II. They, with World War I, they'd been severely undercut. They were also the world's industrial superpower at the time too. So how we're seen as the world's military industrial superpower, it's now slowly declining, I would say. That is what Germany was seeing in the early 1900s. They were a military force and an industrial force to be reckoned with. After World War I, there were sanctions and stuff put on them. Their lands were divvied up. There's a lot of shady things done to Germany that made them feel like, you know, they weren't being treated fairly. And then Hitler came along and he said, "Let's make Germany great again." And
it's the Mexicans. I mean, it's the Jews.
It's the Jews. It's the gypsies.
And then Hitler, people believe this shit.
Hitler, unfortunately, was much smarter than a and much more. I think Hitler, I think he was an INTJ, people say he was. Or maybe he was an INFJ.
Whoa. I've heard INFJ. I don't know.
It sounds, I don't know.
That's a touchy one.
I feel like INFJ, just because, I don't know, it just seems like something an INFJ would do. I'm sorry.
I feel like if you, I'm not going to go down this road. My wife and your wife are both INFJs. I'm not doing this.
It would just definitely sound like something an INFJ would do. I wonder when he was born.
He's going to keep saying it.
was Hitler a Scorpio? Because that would just solidify the fact. I'm sorry. I'm being a jerk. but Hitler was actually capable of pulling off his Make Germany Great Again slogan. He just got too greedy, and that's why we beat him. But yeah, it's pretty awful that all these people who conducted experiments for the Nazi party and stuff like that were subverted and brought to the United States. And that's something that's actually happened. There's CIA documents on it. You go online, you can Google it. There's a whole Wikipedia page. It is something that is proven to be true.
There's something called the internet. Check it out.
All right. So another interesting one that's proven to be true that I find fascinating, just because there's some information on it, but not all the information has been released because a lot of it's redacted from the files that have been left out, but it's MK Ultra. Did you read up on MK Ultra at all?
Of course I did.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and read your notes on it, and I will commentate.
All right. So yeah, Project MK Ultra was the code name given to the program of experiments on human subjects that were designed and undertaken by the CIA, some of which were illegal. They basically, I'm just going to sum it up, layman's. They basically used a bunch of drugs on people to see if they could get better interrogation results, and also to see if they could brainwash people to do things like assassinations and other things. It ultimately failed, and they concluded that violence works better for getting people to do what you want, and whether that be making them tell you something or really anything. But I'm pretty sure you could get most people to be an assassin for a day if you convince them that their family was in danger, or you're going to kill their kid or something horrible like that. You could get almost anyone to do something bad for a day. Yeah. So my shock in this was that their behavior was done in over 80 institutions, including colleges and universities and hospitals and things like that. And a lot of these places, the people in charge, the administration, was actually aware of what they were doing and allowing them to do it anyway. That's what freaked me out, that you can get a bunch of U.S. companies and private businesses, you know, private institutions to just let you in and be like, yeah, we're just going to, you know, give some people, some of them kidnapped, some of them have signed up for it. We're just going to pump them full of drugs and see where it takes us. And the people are like, I like it.
Yeah. This is where, like, when you look at things like MK Ultra, because a lot of the times we say like, oh, these people who believe like in this new world order and this cabal running everything, like it's impossible to get that many people to like work together. But then you look at things like MK Ultra and you're like, maybe. Yeah. Ultimately, I think it was probably like the power of like influence and money that led people to be like, yeah, no, go ahead. But yeah, they were essentially drugging them with acid and other substances to, and this was in like, it was the 1950s or 60s.
I didn't get the exact year span. I definitely think it was back then because the CIA was a lot more covert.
Nefarious.
Well, I don't know. They might even be worse now. Like, we don't really know what they're doing now.
Anyway, it was in the span after World War II, from like the 1950s to the 1970s. I can't remember exactly when.
I'm looking it up.
But
I don't know what happened.
All right. But like during this time, the CIA especially was really interested in like telepathy and mind altering substances and things that would like help you essentially be like a psychic warrior. Like they wanted to see if people could do like telekinesis, like Stranger Things, essentially. Like, that's what they were into, especially because they heard rumors that Russia was also doing the same thing. So they did a lot of things, not just MK Ultra with drugging people. They did other things like Project, I think it's called Project Gateway, where they were looking at transcendental meditation. They did a bunch of programs where they were trying to get psychics to like locate ships out at sea to see if they could pinpoint where exactly it was. Just all sorts of really crazy, crazy things like that. A lot of like TV shows like The X-Files, Stranger Things, and all that are based off of, that lead people to believe a lot of these conspiracies, because some of these things actually happened and they're well documented. MK Ultra was especially egregious though, because they were drugging people without them knowing it or consenting to it. And then a lot of cases, like, they drug these people at parties and they'd have these sex workers go in and like see what information they could get out of them and see what people would do under these influences. There's a documentary, if you want to look more into MK Ultra, on Netflix called Wormwood, that is actually about one of the subjects of MK Ultra who wound up killing himself. He jumped out a window because, you know, you trip balls on acid long enough, it kind of does something to your brain. And yeah, it was just a particularly egregious one that the CIA decided, hey, we're just going to test on subjects unwillingly, which we do constantly. There's multiple, not just the CIA, but other organizations in the US government that have done things on its citizens that they have not been willing participants in at all.
Yeah. It happened from 1953 to 1973, and it became public in 1975.
And I think it became public in 1975 due to that man who killed himself, their family, like, figuring out and coming forward with evidence. And then they had to produce evidence, obviously. And
all of them ended up jumping out of a window.
And some restitutions were paid, but... again, not a lot. So again, government, I think the main thing with government is when you get to these institutions that are in the private security sector, the FBI a little bit less so, but like the CIA, the NSA, all these intelligence agencies that we have, there's some we probably don't even know of that all are working covertly with one another and doing these things to try to maintain control over such a large populace. I mean, the Earth has almost 8 billion people. So we are the world's sole superpower, and we very much want to maintain control. So having all these shadow organizations within the CIA and such, they're going to do shady things like experiment on its own people. What's up?
It's 7.9 billion as of April.
Oh, wow. So we're almost to 8 billion people.
Yeah.
Almost.
We're really fucking up. We're definitely fucking. But anyway, control of people and large swaths of people leads into our next discussion, actually.
Yes. Yes.
The CIA and how they toppled different governments, mainly in the late 19th century. I'll let you handle that one.
All right, so CIA. It wasn't – the CIA was somewhat prevalent before World War II, but it was really after World War II that the CIA really started ramping things up. We talked about MKUltra, how that started in like 1953. It was a lot of administrations after FDR died in office that really started to give a lot of oversight to the military-industrial complex and by proxy the CIA. And again, I don't want to just put everything on the CIA. There are plenty of other government institutions that are considered intelligence agencies. The CIA is just usually the most prominently one mentioned. There's different branches within the CIA and the security apparatus of the United States. But so what the CIA did, especially during the 60s and the 70s, is they would go in to a lot of South American countries in particular, and they would help rebel factions help topple government officials and install dictators, because it's much easier for the U.S. to negotiate with a dictator because we put them in power, we're their main control as far as getting arms to their military and their factions and stuff like that. And it's easier for us to control. So we'd rather have dictators than democratically elected leaders, which is also what happened in Saudi Arabia. We were somewhat complicit in that. Saudi Arabia was actually a super, super liberal country. If you go back and look at pictures in the 70s, they looked like the United States of America in the 70s. Hippies dressed, not dressed in hijabs and stuff like that. They're dressed in like very modern 70s-esque clothing, driving cars and stuff like that. And the U.S. decided in cahoots with the Islam extremists that they were going to install, you know, the Islamic radicals that have now made the Middle East such a hellhole. And what you see anywhere the CIA has gone, South America and the Middle East primarily is where we've fucked with the most. Those regions are absolute disasters as far as military intervention, dictators and stuff like that go. South America is riddled with a drug problem. There is corruption everywhere. That's why people are fleeing to our borders, is because these cartels are allowed by their corrupt government dictators and such to just go into villages and massacre people whenever they want and produce tons of illegal drugs. The Middle East, we prop up Saudi Arabia and Israel especially, and they're the two most egregious Middle Eastern countries when it comes to like war crimes. Saudi Arabia and Yemen, Israel and Palestine, they are very gross in the way that they are treating those other countries. And then you go to 9/11, which we talked about in the last episode. The intelligence agencies, they lied about 9/11, and that's why we're there today, is because these intelligence agencies work with the military industrial complex. They say, hey, what's the best way to make more money? Let's allow 9/11 to happen, and then somehow Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, even though we helped him gain power. Let's go in there and create a forever war, and look at us today.
So I would add to that by going further back in history and how the U.S. in the late 1800s went and caused the initial regime changes in Latin America and places like Southwest Pacific. So like if you think of like the Spanish-American War and like the Philippine-American Wars, those were both to do with the initial regime changes of South America.
That is true. I forgot about those.
Especially. So then once it got to the 60s and 70s of the 1900s, then they pretty much were losing their power in those regions and had to go back. So I think that was more like a refresher course. but honestly, this one doesn't shock me that much, because the U.S. was forged out of rape and theft and of Native people's physical bodies and lands, and they had absolute apathy regarding all the pain of anyone that they've already come across. So I don't think that sending our intelligence agencies and causing regime changes is that shocking. I think it's appalling, but I don't think it's shocking. Yeah. So I think we learned it from England. We're the baby of England, and England did it, you know, and that's pretty much how England got power.
I think when it comes to the United States, we've perfected what England's done. Because we don't actually send our own, like we do send agents over there, but we don't send our own massive armies to invade. We send a couple agents in, we make contacts with rebels or nefarious forces outside the democratically elected government, and we give them weapons. And I mean, every administration has done it since, Lord, the Vietnam War, even before the Vietnam War, but especially ramped up during the Vietnam War. Through even some of our best presidents like Clinton. It didn't happen as much under Bush, surprisingly, but that's probably because he was dealing with the Iraq war and all that fuckery that him and Dick Cheney got us into. It happened a lot in South America under Obama, surprisingly.
Not surprising.
it's not surprisingly, but it probably would surprise most people. Yeah. It's like Donald Trump actually put less people in cages somehow then brought, it's very sad, the state of the United States. Neoliberals are the worst is a common theme that keeps coming up in our discussions.
Yeah, you put a racist fascist in there and he kills less people and cages less people than the neoliberal crazies.
Yeah. Weird. But I think we've perfected the art of toppling other people's governments and gathering their resources. And anytime you hear mainstream news media, that's your CNN, Fox News, CBS, when all of them are agreeing on international intervention, that is a time that you should probably start to get conspiratorial, because there's no reason they're all going to agree unless it's something the military-industrial complex wants them to do, especially under Obama as well. A lot of these companies were allowed to start taking private donor money and stuff like that. And that's when the propaganda machine really started. Was Obama is one of our worst presidents ever, as far as spying on American citizens and propagandizing American citizens goes. He allowed a lot of the propaganda that is filtering through our news streams today to happen. And he's actually kind of part of the reason why this country's become even more divided. Like, going back to the 90s with all the patriot groups and stuff like that, it was starting during the Clinton era, but it was really, really propagated by Obama and the way that his administration handled a lot of different issues that we're still feeling the reverberations of the day and are actually getting worse. We don't learn from our mistakes. We only continue.
Didn't you strengthen the Patriot Act and Homeland Security? And
yes, yeah. Obama was Obama. Unlike George W. Bush, he had a lot of war hawks in his administration. Open war hawks. They were so open about their hawkery that, like, Daddy Bush told W, like, you do not want Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld in your administration. Don't do it. Like, Dick Cheney's the worst person you could pick. And of course, what do you know? Dick Cheney, pretty much the entire reason we attacked the Middle East.
Right. But didn't Baby Bush want to be known as a wartime president? Isn't that why he did all that?
No, he actually campaigned a lot. George W. Bush, he campaigned a lot on education. That was his thing. And he actually said during an interview that he never ever thought that he would be a wartime president. He did not campaign on being a wartime president, and that is why there were so many fuck-ups and why he kind of let Cheney and Rumsfeld and Powell do as much as they did, because he had no idea what to do during a wartime. And his daddy warned him against it.
Very interesting.
I still don't think that makes him innocent of all the heinous things he did, because he's the commander in chief. You know, he still had to sign off on a lot of those things. But I do think he was the useful idiot puppet, especially if you look at Dick Cheney. Like, W approached him to be his vice president, and Cheney was the CEO of Halliburton at the time, right? He was making, I think it was $4.3 million. It was like $4 million a year as the CEO. W went up to Cheney. He was like, hey, despite his dad's misgivings about Cheney and telling him not to, he was like, hey, I'd like you to be the my vice president. Cheney was like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be your vice president, but let me look around and see if I can find somebody to be your vice president. All right. So then he looked around. He put a bunch of candidates through all these different background checks. They had to like do physical like checks and shit like this, and nobody lived up to Cheney's standards. So then he went back to W and he was like, you know what? I know I'm fat, overweight, had 3 heart attacks. You don't know a lot about my financial disclosures, but I'll be your vice president because nobody else can do it. And then he stepped down as CEO of Halliburton, and he was, again, making $4 million a year at that point. Do you know how much money Halliburton gave him? Because when you quit your job as a CEO, apparently you get money, unlike anybody else in the world. How much did they give him?
$800 million.
$34
million. All right. Okay.
Well, we also got to think 2000, like that's a lot of money. That's a right. lot of money in 2000.
I just went as high as I thought a company could like that could shell. But
what was their return investment? It was a no bid $1 billion contract once we went into the Middle East. So I'd say they kind of won out on their investment.
Oh, yeah.
So the country was really lost, honestly. A lot of people will look to Reagan. Reagan in the war on drugs and crime and stuff like that, that was really, really bad as far as like antagonizing and bringing the right strong. Then you had the Ruby Ridge, Waco, and Oklahoma City bombings, and that was kind of radicalizing the right even more. You had the religious right wing rise with Reagan and Bush and during the Clinton era, which really, really hurt us. But when we really lost the country was in 2000, when we allowed not necessarily W, but Dick Cheney to be the vice president. And he is an evil, evil man who brought us into a forever war so that corporations could make money. And then slowly over time, year over year, courts ruled that companies can use money and money is free speech, so they can buy politicians and lobby. So really when we lost the country was in 2000. 2000 was a terrible mistake. It might have happened under Al Gore. We'll never know. But a lot of the agony that we feel in the country as far as corporations taking over and the 08 financial crisis and then coronavirus and all that, it really started in 2000. That's when we really lost the country. Started with Reagan, definitely ended with Bush. And I don't think that we're probably going to get the United States back from these corporations until two things happen. One, which is the most unlikely, there's going to be a violent revolution where a lot of people are going to be put down and die. There might be a French Revolution-esque type thing, which I think would be very bad for us, even not just at home, but on a global stage, because it would decentralize the America as the world's superpower. And that's just leaving a vacuum open for someone vacuous to come in. Or two, which is more likely, all the corporations are going to gobble up everything so bad that it's going to be worse than the 1920s crash. And there's going to have to be some strong, strong, strong regulation that comes out. I think that one's much more likely.
Another FDR?
I don't even know if it's going to take another FDR. I don't know if another FDR could fix it. But I think especially with what you're seeing now after coronavirus, with a bunch of private businesses being bought up, and then now they're all turning their eyes on real estate and they're buying up all the real estate. Like, there's no way for normal Americans to build wealth. Like, you and I are in a unique position where we got our houses. Like, so we have a little bit of wealth, but like, people starting out now, if you're renting and trying to buy a house, like, there's no houses to buy. They're buying the houses and then renting them at exorbitant prices. So there's going to be some type of major crash in the near future because they've gobbled up too much of the pie. And then there's going to be some radical political movements that'll probably take over the government, and it's going to go one way or another. And I hope it goes the more liberal way and not the more fascist way. Probably will be the more fascist way, though. Yeah. So on that happy note, there were two more that we were going to kind of talk about, but Nam's got to leave in a few minutes due to, he's got to work today, but I'm just going to touch real briefly on, if you want to look into more things about the government and the military industrial complex, look up Blackwater and the Shadow Wars in Africa. Africa is a continent that has been just brutally raped into the ground for centuries and centuries. It's a beautiful country with a lot of very vibrant resources. America's been fighting over it. China's been fighting over it. England was fighting over it. So look into those things. Pharma companies. There's a good John Oliver one on pharma companies where he talks about how pharma companies, they pretty much created the opioid crisis, and then they figured out the cure to opioids and how to get you off them, and they sell you the opioids. And so it's this big cycle again of, we're going to get you addicted to something, and then we're going to sell you the cure, which I don't think is very conspiratorial at all. Like, you can prove it. It's more about bringing these things into the open and trying to hold people accountable for their actions, especially when it comes to the big pharmaceutical problems we have in this country. There needs to be much more regulation and oversight on them, and a lot more consequences for the actions that they've taken.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading about the Democratic Republic of the Congo and all the mining, but yeah.
Yeah.
We place a lot of these little guerrilla warfare groups all over Africa and have them fight each other and separate in different nations and force children to mine and, Yeah.
Africa has been the world's punching bag for centuries and centuries, and it's really sad. And as far as Blackwater and mercenary groups, or what they like, they don't even call them mercenary groups. They are mercenary groups. They like to call them private contractors.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of these people are mercenaries that are part of these groups that go, and a lot of them are in Afghanistan right now. So when you hear Biden talk about, I'm going to move all the troops out of Afghanistan by the 20th anniversary of 9/11, because 20 years later, we're still in Afghanistan for some fucking reason. What he's saying is he's going to pull the 2,000 plus troops that he has out, but he's going to leave the 8,000 privately contracted people in Afghanistan. And what those people are, they're all ex-military, usually SEALs, Berets, people who like have had a lot of training. They're bred to be killers. They're going to leave those people there, and we're going to continue to funnel our tax dollars to them so that they can stay in the Middle East and continue to perpetuate this forever war. And then when one of them dies, because they're a private contractor and they're a U.S. citizen, we'll send troops back in. And that's how we keep the forever war going. We keep our mercenaries in play. They get killed eventually because they're mercenaries killing people. So the terrorists are going to kill our contractors. Then on the news, you don't hear that a mercenary was killed. You hear a private contractor who was working for the United States was killed. Contractor, you're thinking someone working on a building or something like that. It's the first thing you think of, right?
Yep.
Then we send our troops back in. It just continues this cycle. So really what we need to do as a country is pull out of the Middle East entirely or stay there entirely. There's only two options, all right? Trump is an idiot, and he wasn't necessarily wrong when he said, well, maybe we should stay there and take the oil. I'm not advocating that. We should not stay there and take the oil. But if you're going to create this vacuum, you have to stay there and stabilize it, or you have to get out and let it be. There's only two options.
We need the poppies, and we need the oil.
We need the poppies.
And we need the hashish. I mean, Afghanistan's not a huge oil place, but we had Iraq for a while, and I think we stabilized some good lines there.
Well, Afghanistan is mainly their biggest export is poppy seeds, which creates opium, which creates opioids.
Drug money. So,
yeah.
Makes us money.
Yes, that makes us money. It makes the CIA money because then they can create a heroin market and they can sell heroin on the black market, because that's another thing you can look into. Again, a lot of these things you can Google. Google the CIA and drug laundering. A lot of people
in the CIA. I don't know what Jared is talking about. I just met him like last week.
Here's the thing. If they didn't want you to know about it, it wouldn't be public. So just think about it. Just think
about
it.
You get enough people to have a secret, something's going to get out.
Yeah. But a lot of these things are really old, like especially when it comes to like the drugs and stuff. Like with the big cocaine fueled in the 80s, like that stuff's like, it's out there. They make TV shows and stuff.
Yeah. About it. But they also know that Americans especially have a very short attention span, and they don't remember the 80s or the 90s for that matter.
Americans, I wonder if other countries have the short term memory that Americans have. No,
I don't think they're as arrogant. I don't think they're as impatient. Yeah. In my time traveling, I've met the most like humble, down to earth, honest people I've ever met. And I come back here and it's like a garden of snakes. You know, even your nice ones are like, you know, plotting something. It's like, what the fuck? It's like the Democrats are supposed to be the good party that helps everybody, but behind the scenes, they're actually more militaristic, and they're actually, you know, putting more people in prisons, and they're deporting more people. Like, they pretend to be the good party, but that's what nice people are to me in the States.
Yeah.
Exactly what they represent to me.
I agree.
If someone smiles in my face and is like super sweet and caring about my life, I get super skeptical like immediately if we're not like close. Like, oh, how are you? Oh, how's your kid? I'm like, oh, something's wrong here. But anyway, I'll let you wrap it up.
All right. So I am Jareth P. Blackstar, or Jareth R. Blackstar, whatever. My YouTube channel name is Jareth R. Blackstar. Like I said, I'll be uploading some videos there sometime in the near future. Going to talk about deities from all sorts of different cultures, talk about occultism, weird magic-y occult stuff that I'm into. I'll be doing some videos on that at some point. Your other host has been Namwon Sakati.
Hi.
You can look him up on SoundCloud. Also, I believe he's Namwon Sakati on Twitter if you want to follow him over there. He's got some good raps that I very much enjoy. I listen to every Friday on my way home from work. This has been our second one on conspiracies. I hope you've enjoyed these. Next week, I'm not sure what we're going to talk on. We may talk on Carl Jung and psychoanalysis, maybe get into some Alfred Adler, because Nam's been looking into Alfred Adler. So maybe we'll talk about some psychoanalysis stuff next week. And then for our fourth week episode, I think we're going to talk about some paranormal experiences we've had, get back into the conspiratorial, but make it more personal. So I've been your host, Jareth R. Blackstar, Nam Wonsakati, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Bye-bye.